I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. It's time for another edition of Saving Stories with Dr. Doug Boyd from the Louis B. Nunn Center for Oral History in the UK Libraries. It's a segment where we feature audio from the collection. Good day to you, Doug.
It's good to be here.
Doug, by the time this episode airs, you will be on sabbatical in Australia. But today we're talking about two new public projects that make use of your substantial collection on two things, well, let's say are synonymous to Kentucky, that being bourbon and bluegrass music. And the thing that makes this possible is this ohm system, which you've been talking about for almost a decade.
In 2008, 2009, we created and launched a search system called the Oral History Metadata Synchronizer, or OHMS, and it has really revolutionized search and discovery of our oral history collections. We went from 300 interviews being used every single year in 2008 to now about 10,000 to 12,000 a month. And the way that OHMS works, it's connecting someone's textual search, so searching on a word like bourbon or bluegrass, and taking the user to the moment in the audio and the video. So it's connecting the search to the corresponding moment. So when you make that search, right then, you're within seconds, you're taken to the moment that the master distiller tells you how to make bourbon from his oral history interview. And the OHMS system has really grown to be quite large. It's now being utilized by people in 40 different countries, by over 300 institutions worldwide. It's really remarkable growth, but it solves a major problem, because before that there just wasn't an easy way for archives to present their oral history collections.
All right, talk about how it's being used in bourbon.
The Fraser Museum in Louisville has rebranded itself really as the trailhead for the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, and they, as part of that process, they have put together a fantastic exhibit on bourbon. So that's ideally where someone would potentially start their journey down the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. And they reached out to us because of this high level of access to our collection, our bourbon interviews. They asked if they could use these excerpts in the museum. And the first few conversations were like, of course you can. I mean, that's what we're here for. But then it became clear to me that they wanted to use over 200 of our excerpts, which normally would be this overwhelming task. But our staff at the Nunn Center, Kopana Terry in particular, you know, dove in, and because of the OHMS system, we were able to get at this material very quickly, very efficiently. And when they opened the museum, I just had no idea what to expect. And they have this enormous table of flat screens facing upward that you're supposed to touch and grab and swipe and zoom with your hands, just like an iPhone, but enormous. And it's like a science fiction movie. And you walk up to this table and you choose your category. It's like people, culture, industries. And they've sorted all of these excerpts, over 200 of them. And so you stand there and you just interact with some of bourbon's, you know, great masters, and with a click and with a touch, and really a remarkable, innovative experience for a museum to utilize oral history. Probably the most innovative, one of the most innovative approaches to presenting oral history in the museum that I've ever seen.
So in the case, you get master distiller Fred Noe explaining how bourbon is made.
Fred Noe, the master distiller for Jim Beam, also the son of Booker Noe, really describes the art and the process of making bourbon.
We distill the whiskey twice. We run it down through a pot still called a doubler or a thumper, where it's full of this clear whiskey. We heat it, turning it into a vapor for a second time, catch those vapors, condense them back into a liquid, take that liquid, put it in the charred white oak barrels, put it away in the aging rack houses here in Kentucky, and let nature take over. Hot summers, the whiskey expands, going into the wood, passing through the caramelized layer of sugar that was set up in that barrel when the barrel was built and charred at the cooperage. In the wintertime, when the weather gets cold, the whiskey contracts and comes out. So during the change of seasons here in Kentucky, you get an inward and outward flow of whiskey through the caramelized layer of sugar that was set up during that charring. That's where we get 100% of the color and probably 70% of the flavor in the bourbon. Also, during the aging, we lose 4% a year to evaporation. That's always been called the Angel's Share.
So the Fraser is using excerpts from our interviews in their presentation, but another museum, the Bluegrass Music Hall of Fame and Museum in Owensboro, opened in October. We've been partnering with them for the last year and a half to preserve and make accessible their collection of oral history interviews with bluegrass music's first generation. And we went down in October, and once again, I didn't quite know what to expect. I'd been working with them. We have maybe 35 of the total 180 interviews that have now been digitized and put online and put into OHMS and made searchable. And this is really remarkable. They've actually used the OHMS interface that we use to present our oral histories online as the touchscreen interface. So when you walk up to these touchscreen monitors, you press on a bluegrass musician, say Ralph Stanley, and up comes the OHMS interface. Typically in a museum, general theory is you provide a very curated experience. So here are the three clips that we have chosen for you to listen to. Is typically what you get at a museum, very controlled. But what OHMS has done is provided the entire interview broken up into segments, and the user, the visitor of the museum, can choose what they want to listen to. So whether you want to listen to Ralph Stanley talking about the Stanley brothers and his brother Carter Stanley, talking about Carter's death and how he kind of reinvented himself, or something like the impact of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou on Ralph Stanley's career. With just a click, you're taken right to that moment.
That old brother put the icing on the cake for me.
That's good. Yeah. And it financially it helped, didn't it?
Well, that's what I say.
Yeah. That's what you were talking about. That's why I just want to double check that to be sure.
Yeah. I won 2 Grammys that year. On Old Death, singing Old Death, and then being on the soundtrack.
Right.
Won two Grammys.
Did that change your performance fees?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That took me away from most of the festivals. Mm-hmm. I don't play many festivals anymore.
What an incredible use of these interviews, and OHMS made it all possible.
Yeah, and it's really wonderful to see oral history start to be utilized not just by people online, but now as something that you can physically interact with in a museum context. It's really going to do wonderful things to enhance access to our oral history collection, but also enhance the experience of museum goers. If you haven't been to either one of these museums, absolutely go. That it's some of the most state-of-the-art technologies and really incredible experience for a museum goer when you're trying to get a real sense of Kentucky and Kentucky's culture and what is really important to Kentucky.
And the beauty of all this is you can see all of the videos and hear the clips as well at your website.
KentuckyOralHistory.org.
All right, OHMS has played a major role now also in you getting a Fulbright scholarship, and you're going to Australia.
Yeah, from January 1st to June 30th, I'll be in Australia conducting research through this Fulbright opportunity. The National Library of Australia has done something kind of similar to OHMS. And the person who created the system for the National Library of Australia, we figured out that we probably came up with the idea and implemented them within about 3 months of each other without any knowledge of either one. So there was something in the air with regard to a general frustration of getting things to be discoverable and useful when they're in the archive. And we started planting the seeds of this idea back then. And the idea is for 6 months, we're going to explore ways that we can bring these two systems together to really lift everyone up. OHMS really can work with anybody's system. And so it's gone around the world, is being used by anyone from the Academy Awards to other universities to museums like we just talked about. The Australian system is really only able to be used and implemented by the National Library. There are aspects of their system that I just love that would really enhance OHMS. And so we're going to do a 6-month technology swap and explore ways that these two systems can really make the world a better place for everyone.
What an exciting opportunity. And for those folks who are fans of Saving Stories, through the miracle of modern technology, we're going to still try to keep the series going throughout the calendar year as well.
Absolutely.
Doug Boyd has been our guest today on Saving Stories. And you can find more of Saving Stories on our website at wuky.org. Safe travels, Doug.
Thanks for having me.